Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amidst suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The question is, how and when, which actually I think would be two questions. This is Wretched Radio. How do you know when you should criticize, judge, call out, condemn somebody who professes to be a Christian versus simply engaging in an issue and working through it? And then when all is said and done, you can have sweet fellowship together, which you actually should be having even during the conversation. The point is, how exactly do you do this? G3 Ministries, very, very helpful, seeing the need for both conviction and charity. An article written by Scott Aniel, he, I think, gives a little hint as to the how and when, the rubber meeting the road when it comes to discernment. It's sometimes called theological triage, that there are certain issues that are the closed-fisted issues, and then there's the open-handed, secondary, tertiary issues. That, I think, is super helpful. And if this entire conversation is kind of getting up your nose, please know that I get that. I get that. I think that if I had heard this presentation, read this article from Scott at G3. 20 years ago, I would have said, that's it. They've just gone the way of the liberal dodo bird. That's it. And might maybe be agitated. I think 20 years ago, I would have had that sentiment. In fact, I'm pretty confident I would have. But that was 20 years ago. And hopefully the Lord has been growing. I mean, shouldn't we all be able to look back and go, no? Oh. I mean, should. It's not easy to do. It's not all that pleasant to admit, I used to. But I think it's a testimony to God's patience with us and with God's the Holy Spirit empowering sanctification work in us that we change. And so if you're feeling like, oh man, enough asking us to be a little bit more moderated in our tone and over which issues we divide and debate, I had to just stop it. We need more. I get that. And so here, by the way, is my commitment. I'm never going to stop having. I want to get to the grave with, I'm going to do it again, in just coming out of me on the right issues, on the correct subjects, on the matters that demand fidelity and precision to the Bible. You can pick pretty much any of your classic confessions. And I would obviously have some disagreements, whether it's more of a Presbyterian confession versus a Baptistic confession. Of course, I'm going to have some differences, but I can pretty safely say I adhere to all of them at least 95%. And none of that 5% tend to be polity issues, not essential doctrines. We need to hold on to the, yes, I'm going to do it again. But we can't be that way on other issues. So now you ask, which other issues are you talking about? Glad you asked. This is from G3 Ministries, a new series that they're doing called Conviction and Charity. This one is perspectives on ecclesiology or eschatology, rather. And I think that they're going to spend more time dealing with the issue of eschatology, showing, hey, here's the differences. This is what they. And they're going to have that conversation, but they're going to do it with conviction and charity. Pretty certain, not entirely certain, but I'm pretty certain the gang over at G3, probably pre-trib dispensationalists. they're going to hold on to that. Are they going to talk about amillennialism, postmillennialism? You know, maybe this will be helpful, especially if you're from the South. When we moved from Minnesota to the South, people told us, get ready for football culture. You can't imagine it till you get here. And when you do, it's like, woofta, because you still have remnants of Minnesota ingrained into you. Woofta. They are really into football here. And in fact, right before this program, in the hallway, there were four of us standing there. Two individuals had a shirt on with their school logo. And the third one wanted to, but that shirt was dirty today. I'm just telling you, we carry our colors and we love our schools. And something interesting happens when we get together. We play. I don't think that somebody from Clemson genuinely hates somebody from UGA, like viscerally hates. They maybe talk like that. I hate the UGA. I hate the Bulldogs. But they don't. And when they get together with them, they'll play. They'll tease. For instance, it's super easy to make fun of those hideous colors from Tennessee. So I would say that color is just not on this. It's nowhere. What are those things called for paint and I don't want to get all construction-y here, but with the fan, the color wheel thing, it ain't on there. Bow and wow. Now I can say that to a buddy who's a fan of the Volunteers and we play. I suppose it's devolved into some some fists flying, but overall it's a tenor of we're from the South and you got a different team. And we kind of just engage with one another, more trash talky stuff. But there's, my opinion, most of the time, there's just this underlying tenor of playfulness. Jimmy, would you agree with that? That when people are dissing each other over it, it's all in good fun, if you will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Not a perfect illustration. But on the secondary and tertiary issues, we should be more like that. Now, I'm not saying we diss and trash talk. My point is, you just get the sense that they aren't really trashing each other because you get the sense that they don't hate each other. And maybe that is the way that we need to be thinking about secondary and tertiary issues. That maybe if I'm stuck on a desert island with somebody who is amillennial, maybe I can get along with them. And I don't know, we can sit and swap Bible verses and sing hymns together because we have fellowship with one another. Maybe, just maybe. This is from Scott Aniel over at G3. I think this is helpful. The series will not be about first-tier issues. It will be about secondary and tertiary issues. These are doctrines that affect our understanding of church life, our philosophy of worship, our view of the future, but upon which our eternal salvation does not depend. That's a great rule. When you hear somebody say something and you go, swing and a miss, ask the question, will their understanding determine their eternal destiny being a lake of fire? Does it disqualify them from the kingdom? If not, and we need to get used to that. I know that I need to work on this. There's going to be people from different denominations and different movements that are actually in heaven. Now, I get it. There's some really apostate expressions of mainline Protestantism. I get it. I have no problems talking about the ELCA or the Presbyterian Church, United States of America. Their polity and their practice and their theology, it's just gone astray. The ELCA, if heresy has any meaning still, the ELCA denomination, it's heretical. Now, could there be some people inside of the ELCA that are saved? Sure, I think that can be the case. I don't know why they would want to stay there, but nevertheless, I can understand that. That they are in there somewhere, but that's a whole lot different than identifying somebody from, say, you've got a difference You got a difference with somebody from the Presbyterian Church America. Okay, what's the level? Is it going to determine their destiny? Because the Presbyterian Church America is soundly orthodox. They're not wonky. What's the issue that you're talking about? If it's eschatology, if it's how we understand the Lord's table, if it's church polity, and even some of the applications of these truths that we hold together, if they're not damned because of that position, I need to remember, so I'm going to be in heaven with this character, am I? Don't think we're going to be arguing about it because their theology will finally match mine perfectly, but I'm going to be in heaven with that person. Ask the question, does their eternal salvation depend on it? A brother, maybe a Baptist and another a Presbyterian, they will worship together in the new heavens and the new earth. A sister may hold to a strict Sabbatarian view while another believes the Sabbath command is fulfilled uniquely in Christ. They will both enter God's eternal rest. Perhaps that singular question, will this difference determine their destiny of damnation, is a rule that we should start to live by? This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this, it's all free, completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Furthermore, is it possible that we've just been downright distracted? This is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy, you've got some thoughts on this subject,
yeah,
don't you?
Well, you know, talking about the battles that we sometimes engage in, the theological controversy that we sometimes find ourselves loving, I think a lot of times we feel like that gives us purpose. You know,
you're contending for the faith.
Contending for the faith.
But that's what, okay, hold your thought, but that's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
We're told to contend for the faith. So the problem when you say, well, we just need to define what that contending looks like, it can be heard that, oh, we don't contend at all. So we're to contend. You're not saying we shouldn't contend for the faith.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we do. Theological sharpness, I think, is a blessing, but it shouldn't become our identity.
I agree with that.
And I think when it does, it distracts from the real mission. I mean, how many times, when we engage in this, I think we should take a step back and say, okay, well, how many times have I shared the gospel this week?
Well, that's where the distraction comes in.
Yep.
That we're to be about our master's business. Contending for the faith is a part of it. If that's the totality of one's Christian walk, I wouldn't call them a heretic. I would simply say, yo, bro, I think you need to adjust. I would even apply that to ministries. Let's just say here on Wretched Radio, we made the policy that said there is no public parachurch ministry that should be focusing on discernment. They should be focusing on Jesus and discernment as a part of it. That's the rule. Let's say then I bumped into somebody from a ministry where that's all it is just discernment. What do I do with them? Would I say, you're breaking my rule, which I think is a good rule and a right rule. Therefore, I'm going to trash talk you or I'm going to divide from you. No, absolutely not. It's like, bro, let me share some thoughts with you. And hey, let me show you where I see your giftings and your strengths so that you can be advancing the kingdom and not just constantly defending the fortress, which we're called to do, but maybe your ministry could be tweaked a bit so that it does contain discernment, because we're all supposed to be Bereans, but so that it is a Christ-exalting ministry. So I don't want to divide over those who even see the issue of discernment differently than I do. And if I could just toss this out, if right now you're wanting to toss me out because I've been witnessing this for so many years and we've talked about this for so many years, and you're disagreeing with it, or you're concerned that maybe we're becoming squishy. Then let's talk. Let's talk. And I, by the way, here's something interesting that I've observed about discernment. I've seen this before, and I've actually sensed the propensity in my own heart. You see abuses of discernment where you think they're not playing with any rules. They're coloring outside of biblical lines for being a Berean. I disagree with them. So I am going to judge that and almost scold or shame. Oh, those people, they're not discerning. We need to stop these people who are discerning like this. And I take on the exact same attitude, because I think it's present really in all of us, more or less. I think it's present in all of us. When I see somebody with whom I have a disagreement, even in how they do discernment, I can't make discerning better my issue over which I'll divide. Wouldn't that be ironic? And so my plea with you is, all right, I'm sharing some stuff. I think it's right. I think. What am I? Okay, so this is a loose-handed, the open-handed issue for me, because these issues are tricky and complex. I get that. So I'm sharing with you, this is how I'm kind of seeing the discernment culture right now amongst us. And I think it's fracturing us. And I think we're missing out on a lot of sweet unity. And I honestly, in my own heart, I sense it. For years, meeting somebody just in an airport. It's do you remember the Emo Phillips joke? There's a guy he's on the Golden Gate Bridge or something, and he's walking across the bridge, and there's a guy on the ledge. He's going to jump off the bridge. Hey, friend, don't do that. Are you a Christian? I am a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? I'm a Protestant Christian. I'm a Protestant Christian. What kind of Protestant Christian are you? And I'm just filling in the blanks here. Well, I'm a Reformed Christian. I'm a Reformed Christian too. What kind of Reformed Christian are you? I adhere to the London Baptist 1689 Confession of Faith. I adhere to the London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1699. Do you believe in the first or second edition? I believe in the first edition. Die, heretic! And he shoves him off the bridge. Now, that is something that I think we need to learn from and guard ourselves against, even as we go about the business of trying to find the correct place where the discernment pendulum should rest. That I don't want to use my differences of opinion with some folks on the issues of discernment to do the very same thing that I'm criticizing. And I've seen that before. I've felt it before in myself. All that to say, let's talk about this. Let's work through this. That's the entire point. If you're a born-again Christian, this is what I know. I love you. And if I'm on a desert island with you, and you're square on the essentials, I am so glad you're there. I am so glad. Wait a second. What's your eschatological position? Well, I'm not going to throw you into the ocean. Glad you're there. This is a plea for us to take a look at the issue of discernment that I think has simply gotten out of control in many ways for many people. Not everybody, not to radical extremes. But I think it's time for us to take a look at the issue. And it appears that's what Scott Aniel is doing over at G3. Let me share with you some of the closing statement from his article as they launch a new series called Conviction and Charity. He writes this, and this is going to be hard for you. This is hard for me. To engage on these topics, secondary, tertiary issues, requires a particular kind of intellectual, like that word, and spiritual posture. Okay, we got to have both of these things. It requires the humility to recognize that our own interpretations. Jimmy?
Yes?
Would you remember these two words?
Uh-huh.
Because I can't say them. You're going to say, when I pause, you're going to say, are fallible.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Mm-hmm. It requires the humility to recognize that our own interpretations
are fallible.
Glad you said it, because I know yours are. On the other hand, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard, because you go, I get it. You think, wait a second, if I'm off on something, like, how off can I be? And what is the issue? Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Okay, well, I think we can certainly discuss that, but I don't think that needs to be the immediate conclusion, or I don't think it disqualifies the idea that Scott is putting forth here. That we recognize, while I think I've, how's about this? Can we all agree to this? I think I've got it more right than anybody else. I think I can live with that statement as long as it's not snotty. I think I'm more right than anybody else. And I'm gonna find those like-minded people to be in fellowship with. I can live with that too. If I didn't think that I had it right, I would change. I would alter. I would recant on whatever is necessary. But in the meantime, I'm going to hold on to these things with a closed fist on the essentials, an open hand on the secondary issues, recognizing I could have something wrong. I could have an application wrong. You just, when we read these stories online about the stuff that's going on, we don't know a fraction of what's actually happening behind the scenes. And our judgment can be so limited in that regard. And so I need to recognize I might just have it wrong. I can be fallible, even as we strive to be faithful to the text. It requires the patience to listen carefully to a brother's argument, seeking to understand it in its strongest form before we critique it. Ooh, that's a challenge. And it requires the love to believe the best about his motives, assuming, of course, he loves Christ and his word just as much as we do. And this conclusion, let us speak the truth in love, holding fast to our convictions with one hand, while holding fast to our brothers and sisters in the other. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.